Now, here in lesson 19, what we're looking at is Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 20, science, truth, and faith. Isn't it interesting that when you talk to skeptics, what they'll say is, why doesn't God just appear to everybody so that we can all know that he really exists? So when you look at slide number 1 and you think about that, you can look at the verse, what God says in Romans. He says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Now, in this ministry, what we like to do often is we're going through these lessons is to give you a real exegesis, a real study of what God is saying in these verses. What does that really mean, what he just said in Romans? Well, the first word that we're highlighting here in this verse is ungodliness. That word in the Greek means a lack of reverence to God. So God's wrath is on those who have no reverence towards him. And then notice the following word is unrighteousness. You see, one comes from the other. What God is saying here in this verse, it's very precise, is that when you have a lack of reverence for him, it leads to this Greek word for unrighteousness, which means the result of ungodliness, moral wrongfulness. That word in the Greek means moral wrongfulness. And why is God's wrath against people who don't reverence him and end up having a complete moral structure that's in opposition to God? Because what people are doing who have this attitude towards God is the next word, suppress. That word in the Greek means to hold down or oppose. So literally, what they're doing is they're suppressing the truth in their moral unrighteousness. And then the next word we highlight is that God didn't design it that way, that what he says is that what can be known of him is manifest in people. And that word for manifest in the Greek means made public. In other words, God isn't hiding himself from people. God says clearly that what can be known about him is shown. Because in the creation of the world, him being invisible is clearly revealed in the things that are visible. And that's the next word, things that are made. In the Greek, that means workmanship. In other words, God's workmanship in creating the universe reveals his invisible attributes to all of us in a physical way. So what's the result of that? That people who suppress his truth in unrighteousness are without excuse. Notice that word in the Greek, it's the opposite of apologetics. It's unapologetics. And what it means is when you stand before God one day, you will not be able to give an apologetic. In other words, you won't be able to give a defense for yourself because you rejected him and suppressed the truth and unrighteousness. That's the breakdown of Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. Let's go to the next slide. Here what we see is something very, very interesting that our textbooks don't teach us. When you look at this history of science, the discoveries that are made all the way back to the 1600s, you can thank Christianity for it. In this first picture you have here, everybody with a yellow background is a Christian. The majority of the greatest scientists with Nobel Prize winning credentials in fields that are taught in our universities are all Christians who believe in Jesus Christ. As time goes on, you see we also have pantheists. There's only one. That's Erwin Schrödinger. Then you see we have a few deists, and we talked about that in an earlier lesson, those who believe in the natural universe without God being involved, explains a little bit about an external cause. Then you have agnostics, people who would say, you know, I see that there's something going on here, but I'm not willing to make a decision on it either way. There's not many of them. And then finally, here we are in the 20th century, 21st century, two very noted scientists who are atheists. Now look what Arthur Compton said. Arthur Compton is the American physicist in 1927 who won the Nobel Prize for the Compton effect. He writes this: science has created a world in which Christianity is a necessity. Anyone studying these scientists through the history of science can see that their discoveries were based on their beginning presupposition that there had to be a God and he was the creator. Let's go to slide 3. Now, here's what's interesting then. Again, we're back to this idea of a worldview battle that's going on between secular humanism and Christianity. Here's two identical physicists from that time frame I gave you in the previous slide, Bill Phillips. Look what he says. He's a PhD in physics from MIT, 1997 Nobel Prize winner in physics for laser cooling, professor of physics at the University of Maryland. He says, so many of my colleagues are Christians that I can't walk across my church fellowship hall without tripping over a dozen physicists. Now compare that to Steven Weinberg. He's PhD in physics at Princeton University, the 1979 Nobel Prize winner in physics for electroweak unification theory, professor of physics at the University of Texas in Austin. Here's what he says. As you learn more and more about the universe, you find you can understand more and more without any reference to supernatural intervention. So you have lost interest in that possibility. These guys have the same background. They're both at the highest levels of their scientific credentials. How is it possible, with the same evidence, that two distinguished scientists with similar professional backgrounds can see things so differently? Well, there's an obvious conclusion. It's not their science. It's not the hard facts. It's their worldview.